Open up your ears and open up your mind. They'll reach into your throat and pull out your spine. And when the sun blows up and the earth is gone, there's still experience grind with Kyle and Sean.
So growing up, dude, did you have... Did, like, your mom have potpourri just kind of laying around the house? Did she have those, like, potpourri pillows or... do you know what I'm talking about? The pillows that definitely you're not supposed to lay on and they smell good, like pine.
Never the pillows, but I'm 100% positive that she had like the open bowls with like the bark style potpourris. We had one in the living room, and I think both bathrooms had their own too for covering of a poo smell. But yeah, she definitely had both of those. Not the pillow, and I don't think I'm familiar with the pillow at all. I don't think my grandmother even had those.
My grandparents had those at our in our cottage in Maine. They had like decorative potpourri pillows, or I don't even know if they're considered potpourri, but they definitely smelt good and smelt piney, and definitely you weren't supposed to use them. And to this day, I'm confused as to why anybody would have bought them.
Yeah.
But I'm team bring back bowls of potpourri back. Put that shit in the bathroom. I don't need this potpourri. I know you're a fan. I've been to your bathroom.
I'm really not. We bought that just as like hey, fuck it. And
is it a gag now?
It just kind of sits there. I mean, people can use it if they want. It's not ever implied to. I definitely don't. So
hey, dude, if I'm staying over, like, I want y'all to know my flavor. You know what I'm saying?
I think either somebody didn't use it the last stream, or they just were so powerful that, like, I remember I went upstairs once and I was like, God damn. I have no idea who.
Yeah, use the downstairs bathroom.
I don't know how we did it at my old place with, like, the bathroom was right fucking there.
Man, I don't know either.
Like, I can't believe, like... Talk about a glow up, bro.
Yeah.
That fucking place. I lived there for so long, dude. It was so goddamn tiny.
I was just thinking before we started recording, pretty much the same exact thing. Like, what a glow up. Right now, you can't see.
You too, bro.
Actually, yeah. Let me turn this real quick. I can't even see my camera. That's why mildly annoying. But right outside, it is... you can't see shit. It is a gorgeous day out there, not a cloud in the sky. And typically, right now at my old place, all you would hear is motorcycles and trucks and sirens.
From the trucks hitting those motorcycles?
Oh, man.
And the ambulance right next door going to save them?
Sometimes I would wish while we were recording, man, I'm like, dude, it is 35 degrees out and raining. Why are you on a motorcycle? Is it because I'm recording?
I had a dude I played in a band with. I think I've told the story before, who, like, he did have a truck, but he was a motorcycle guy. And then, like, his fucking truck broke and he just didn't fix it. And we lived in Indiana. And, like, dude, he just rode it all the time. Motorcycle everywhere. Didn't care. Fucking, you know, 20 degrees out. Fucking snow covered streets. He's riding this goddamn Triumph motor, and like a badass, by the way, dude never dumped it, never got into crashes, was like a true motorcycle guy. So like way more badass than I will ever be. I'll say that.
I'm picturing him just driving down the street in Indiana, and then he sees a cornfield off to his right, and for some reason there's a like one of those trucks that carries a shitload of cars on the back, but it's empty. And so the ramp's down and he sees it and he just guns it through these corn rows and smokes it and just goes airborne. And it's the coolest Evel Knievel shit ever. And then he rides away and nobody ever sees it. But it's okay.
Yeah, he just did it for himself.
For himself, yeah.
Yeah. He probably would do it. That dude's a badass. And now he is like, he's also like his job. He's a fucking like wine sommelier at like high end restaurants. And he's a fucking bald biker with a giant beard that like has tattoos all over his hands and his fingers, and he's like a high class sommelier.
I hope he shows up to like events and shit. Just
he probably does, man. The guy is a certified, but he's like what you would like. Hemingway would write a book about this dude. He's one of those interesting guys. He like used to carve mead flasks out of bull horns. He's like a blacksmith too, because of course he is.
What?
Yeah, this dude rules. He's a really cool guy.
That's freaking sweet. This sounds like a Viking, but like a sophisticated Viking.
I think he's got Scottish roots, because now lately I've seen him very embracing of the kilt and the that hat look. So
okay. The kilt slouch just hat. Came out of nowhere?
No, he's been wearing it at like some events, because I still follow him on social media.
Sure.
And I think he's like making it part of his persona. So his online. Maybe. But again, dude rules. Played hella bass.
Right on. That's rocking. So, do you think he has potpourri in the bathroom?
You know, honestly, maybe. Because his girl and like their friends were also, they were like into that vintage style stuff. So like she wore like the pencil skirts and had like, she always had the sunglasses. I remember that like came out the wings. To the points. Yes. Yes. And she frequently would wear like beehive style hairdos. So.
That is a choice. Also,
it is, man. It's a commitment. Not one that I would really get behind. Although, I do like those white and black shoes from the 50s. Like the dress shoes, you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
And spats. I've become like a fan of spats. I didn't even know that's what they were called. But those what are like, that's the white cover that like goes over like the dress shoes. Like, they'd wear them a lot in like Looney Tunes cartoons.
Why? What?
Yeah, spats are cool, man.
That seems like the kind of thing that if you go to like Google image it, you have to turn on like safe search.
It does sound like a word that's been co-opted to mean something else. On the note of potpourri and weird ass grandparent shit, though, did yours do this? Because mine on my dad's side absolutely had like the den where everybody hung out, and then she had the living room that nobody was allowed in. It was like super fancy furniture, plastic on the furniture, not allowed to sit on it, never go in there. She cleans it every day. Like the show-off living room that nobody, it was, we used it once a year that I remember when we would go there for Christmas.
That's where we would open the Christmas presents. I was about to say, was it the holiday room?
Uh-huh. But that's the only time family was allowed in there, never with food or drink. You ate that in the kitchen, you see. That shit was weird to me. Always weirded me out.
Yeah. It just goes to show the difference in generations. You know, our grandparents were able to afford these houses that just had an entire fucking room. That's
just show off. Yeah.
Yeah. Show off room that nobody's allowed to enter. You so shall weird, not pass.
Dude. So fucking weird. Dear I always Lord. Bust my stepmom's chops because she had she would have fucking hand towels in the bathroom that are decorative. Like, you're not supposed to dry your hands on these hand towels.
Don't do that.
And I'd always be like, what the hell, man? What are you doing to me? What?
Yeah.
I'm in the bathroom. How can I not use a fucking hand towel? What are you talking about?
There was, like, literally no option of something to use?
Sometimes. And I'm what like, where fuck? Is the... They're like, it's underneath the sink. Open. I'm like, why am I opening a cabinet with wet hands to dry my hands?
Yo, you what gotta escape doing? Room the shit just to find a towel.
What? What are we doing here, bro?
Man, I'm waving my shit in my shirt.
I don't get it. Some people have quirks. I help like that's one. I try to self-analyze sometimes, and I try to imagine how a third person like views me. And I'm like, am I weird? Do I have weird quirks that stand out? And I don't know. Sometimes I do.
Probably.
I yeah.
But at least your house is functional. Like, okay, don't get me wrong. I don't mind decorative pillows, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Man, what was that movie? Something about not Something About Mary. It had Ben Stiller in it. and he gets broken up with. There's the ferret.
Oh, Along Came Polly.
Along Came Polly. Wasn't, like, his ex, didn't she have, like, 9 million decorative pillows?
I think that's one of the things that he's upset about.
Yeah. Okay, don't afterwards. Do that. Like, yeah. One decorative pillow is cool, whatever. A couple on the couch for seasonal, that's pretty sweet. Hey, in the kitchen, if you have some seasonal decorative whatever draped over the oven, cool. But, oh, man, yeah, sure. Don't have decorative pillows on the couch if there's no other pillows behind them that you can use.
Yeah, I'm
or a cushy arm cushion.
If you anything that is on the, like, it should be, you can use it, man. If it's there, it's to fucking put your head on. It's yeah. A clean pillow. Chill out with it, you know? So
stop jabbing me in the ear with these rhinestones, man.
Function over man. Form. Like, just give me, yeah, I get it. Gotta have a good pillow. I bought a couch pillow the other day at Target that's like a fucking thwomp from Mario, and it's the coolest thing ever.
That's fantastic. And I bet you it's cushy and cozy.
It is. It's very nice. We've used it many times on the couch because it's a perfect. It's just like a little couch pillow, but it's shaped like a thwomp from Mario. But it's
fantastic.
Soft and cushy. It's awesome.
Sometimes pillows are too round. And so, like, you put it, it goes to your shoulder, and then there's not enough cushion on your, like, head support. I hate that.
I constantly see ads for this pillow called the Cube that I debate trying all the time because I'm a side sleeper myself, and it's for that. It's literally just, like, a soft, giant cube with four sides that, like, keeps a solid shape when you lay your head on it, so.
That sounds fantastic. I struggle. With pillows, being a side sleeper. And also, like, I'm not a big guy. So there's not a lot of distance between, like, my head / neck and, like, the end of my shoulder. So I can't stand when my head is, like, propped up or if it's propped down. Yep. Like, it's got to be perfect. Or else, you know what I'm going to do instead? I have blankets on the bed. I bring one up to my head. And then I fold it to the perfect size.
Mm-hmm.
Blankets are cozy. You get the perfect amount of lift or not. And I slept with a blanket for a very long time because it's easier than buying a fucking pillow that will never work.
I have a two pillow method. I have to do it.
Between the knees?
No. Just two that are the perfect height for my side sleeping.
Got it.
And then they're also great that if I go on my back, I can slide the top one up and it. And then I'm just on the one side. It's a very sweet science I've developed because I sleep so little. The sleep I do get has to be good.
This isn't a sponsored podcast, obviously, but we did just recently get a Helix bed.
You did. I wanted to ask you about that last week.
Yeah, we committed, like, Sarah's bed real rough on, like, my neck and just daily headaches. I slept awful in that thing. And you know, it was time for her to really get a new bed anyways. And so, you know, when I came here, I brought my bed along and we just kind of gave that to her daughter. And that's in her room now, which was a big upgrade for her. I loved my bed. That's great. But the plan was
to... Was your old one a Helix too?
No, my old
bed.
Okay. No. Oh God, these are not cheap, man. That is one thing I'll say about these beds. But
I looked into them after I saw that you got one, and I was like, they're very nice. But
yeah, we got it during a sale, so cool. We only spent like all told like 28. Like
not bad, man. For a good mattress.
Oh my God. Well, that's also including we got one of the adjustable beds. Frames?
Oh, no shit.
Oh,
the ones
that
like do the thing? God, everybody's getting those, man.
Dude, it's so fire. My game, like, it's game changing, man. We'll be watching TV in the bedroom and just like basically turn the bed into a couch with our legs lifted.
Sure. It's so fucking killer.
The bed is super comfortable. It's gigantic. Yep. So Rupert's not pushing us off the bed because he.
Yep.
Clearly lays sideways on the bed because he's a dickhead. And dude, it came with two pillows that they're really fucking comfortable and I can actually use them.
Nice. And,
which is, it's nice. So.
Is it, are the tilts individual or do you have to do both at the same time?
No, we ended up getting one where you have to do it all at once.
I mean, fuck it though. You're both laying in it. Yeah.
It's, I mean, not stressed about it. We both have pretty similar tastes when it comes to like comfort level. That's a weird thing to say. Taste with comfort level. But we're very similar when it comes to what's comfortable to us. So we'll have it tilted up a little bit while watching TV. And then when it's time for bed, just flatten that bad boy out.
That sounds fucking tight though, man.
Yeah,
I know so many people that have gotten those and it honestly makes me jealous.
It's, I mean, what do they say? You spend a third of your life in bed. Why not be comfortable, right?
That's the thing. I definitely do not. And that's why. I never gave one of these, shit.
You will.
And also, I mean, yeah, maybe that's what I need to like push myself. I mean, not that my bed's bad either, but I've slept like, that's part of being a fucking shitty musician in shitty bands that still, dude, I slept in some fucking jacked up places. And
It's wild. Maybe you know this. I have a history when there's like a group outing or something and there's rooms with limited bed space. I just opt to sleep on the floor because I can sleep on a floor. I find that for some reason comfortable or I find that not uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't mind doing that, but this is
Hartman also famously a floor sleeper.
Yeah, I don't, and I'm a side sleeper too, dude. So I don't know why that's okay, but this is the most comfortable side sleeping bed I've ever been in.
I thought at first when you got it, because that was one of the things that you mentioned, I thought it was one of those, they make beds that have like a cutout where your like arm and shoulder can go into.
I don't want a bed like that. Gross.
And I was like, I do. I was like, man, that'd be nice. Except that eventually, you know, it's going to get fucking weird in there.
Yeah, somebody's gonna fuck the hole. Wait, what? Oh,
that too. I wasn't even thinking of that. I was just thinking like spiders. I'm like, you put your hand in there.
Oh man, arm funk. And then you're, like how you or clean like
a
that?
Fucking a centipede. Yeah, just general arm funk dust.
Yeah, what kind of fucking house do you think I live in? Spiders and centipedes and like armhole in
they
bed.
They exist in every house. They. It doesn't matter. Like,
not in my bedroom.
They get in there, dog.
I don't know, man. Don't fucking give me nightmares, dude. It's like,
except house centipedes are dope. You want those guys around? They're cool as fuck. Now, yeah, they're different from like the red centipede. Yeah, house centipedes. The problem with them is that they do look creepy as all fuck.
But they look like something out of a fucking like.
Like they look scarier than a real centipede to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They look like the scariest shit. It's like when you look at pictures of fish from like 5 miles underwater and it's just like angler fish and like things with like you're like, what the hell? That's like the insect equivalent of this.
Yes.
Why do you exist?
I sent a picture of a dried out one of those sea bug things in the group chat when I was in the Bahamas. And you were like, nope, no, get it away.
Nope.
Such a visceral reaction to that thing.
Not okay with that.
Yeah. The thing that also sucks about house centipedes is that they're so fragile. You can like blow on them hard and you'll blow their legs off.
Sick. Now I know my defense. Look out. It does not work right for me.
Actual centipedes that'll bite you though, man.
Fuck that, dude.
I've been bit by those bastards before.
Centipedes are angry looking. Millipedes, yeah, dude. Don't mind, but centipedes are angry looking.
They just look like they're ready to fucking bite you, and they are.
Yeah. It's like, Jesus damn it, Christ. Dude. Get them jaws away from me, man.
Bugs, man.
Dude,
like, it's so funny.
Go ahead.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, man, if the jaws are bigger than the thing's head, count me out. Hey, if I can see its jaws, count me out.
Exactly, right? Like, even there's some ants I've come across that are big enough to, I see, like, I'm like, dude, all right, fuck off.
Yeah.
But that's what I was saying. Like, it's funny to me so much because as a kid, dude, I was definitely like a bug kid. I loved to catch bugs. I had like bug catching houses and like little things that I'd keep them in. I caught all kinds of bugs. And now I fucking hate them, man.
There's 0% chance my mom would let me have a ant farm or any sort of bug farm.
I had so many ant farms. I loved them.
Oh, man, my mom knew that, like, I was wild enough that I would probably accidentally break it, and then the house would just be full of ants.
Surprisingly, never did that. I got so advanced, I had two, and I had, like, a connecting thing between them, because my ant farm got so big that...
Oh, you bougie. Expand.
Dude, it was fucking dope. I love those things. I've done them a couple other times. Ant farms rule. There's actually a YouTube guy I watch that does crazy ant farm shit. He's insane with it.
You'll and have to link me keeps, that.
I will. He's awesome. His name's Ants Canada. Dude, what's crazy is he has these massive fucking colonies of fire ants that like fucking that, you know, they make massive fucking nests and he just has tons of them. And all of his tanks are open air because he just has like a Vaseline grease around the top that they can't get through. But other than that, they're completely open air at all times so he can just drop food in. It's and he'll have like fucking five giant pieces set up with all this tubing run through it. It's so insane, dude.
This guy's gonna die to fire ants. That is his fate. Dude. Like, they are going to figure out how to stack themselves and get out of that. His time's numbered, dude.
At one point, I don't think he lives there now because his YouTube channel actually kind of popped off. But, like, when he was, you'd see this sometimes. And, like, literally, dude, I'm telling you, like, every square inch of this guy's house is covered in different ant terrariums. And like he was given the tour once and that's when he dropped that he was living in an apartment complex. And I'm like, God, cause he talks about like sometimes still you get escapees and it's like, dude, imagine being this fucking guy's neighbor at an apartment.
Imagine being this dude's freaking landlord.
Oof.
Be like, you're fucking out of here.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't have a significant other. I think his life is fully ants, but it's a wild channel, man. You get sucked down into it real easy.
Okay.
It's that type of shit.
So you mentioned terrariums. I was going to follow this up anyways with this. I followed this guy. His handle's Worcester Terrariums. So it's like Worcester, like Massachusetts. Oh, okay. Thing, but Worcester Terrariums. His name on there is Ben Newell, but he just posts, he makes like mini terrariums or has big ones and he'll do time lapses of like the life that starts living in them. And
that shit's cool. Yeah.
Yo, it is fucking wild. Like I never thought that I would give a single fuck until it popped up on my feed. And then I spent the next 40 minutes just clicking on all of his videos.
That's fucking, it's wild. The shit that like, you start to follow that you maybe have just the tacit amount of interest in, but like I follow, like a lot of it that I follow is stuff that I'm very interested in, but I'm number one, I don't want to start the hobby because I know of my hobby addiction personality that it's going to go full force. And number two, I just don't have time. Exactly. Cause one of the two guys that I've been following lately too, that I've absolutely loved to watch. I've watched tons of their videos. They paint Warhammer figurines, dude. It's amazing. That's fucking crazy. Awesome. Like the detail and shit that these guys do. And like one dude I just watched him. He built like this fucking, like I think 14-inch knight. It's like a fucking model. He has to like cut all this shit out. He built it and painted it all in 24 hours.
That's insane to me.
Dude, it's so fucking cool though. And it did look badass.
I like when we travel, we like to stop into like a board game shop or like see if there's any around just to kind of see what they got and check out the shop. And there was a couple of places down in DC and in Florida where you just go in and usually you never quite know what you're going to get when you search for a game shop. Like sometimes it's board games. Sometimes it's just like a Pokemon shop or.
Yep. Yeah,
or it's tabletop like Warhammer and all of that stuff. We've stopped into a couple that are like nice mixtures. And it's always so cool to go back into the sections of the miniatures and stuff like that, because usually have like the miniature contest, like painting contests. And let me tell you, some of those are dog shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really, really bad. And I feel bad even saying that because, like, somebody worked on that. But, man, it's real hard not to say that when they're in the same case as, like, the winners.
Sure, sure.
Like, holy fuck. Those are insane.
There's this other guy that I watched that I think you would probably dig more, because the reason I got onto him, he does this whole series on his channel called eBay Rescue, where like people that got into Warhammer or whatever, and like they tried it out and they didn't really like it. So like they sell their stuff. So he gets stuff for cheap. And usually, you know, it's terrible paint jobs because these people, and they didn't like it or whatever. So what he does is he like buys them and he like cleans them, but he repaints them like really nice. But he tries to like mimic what the original person painted it was like going for. So
what
like
they were trying to do.
Yeah. So it's really cool because like he tries to honor that, and it, dude, you would really dig this guy.
Yo, that sounds friggin' awesome, man. That sounds awesome.
YouTube Premium, baby. It hit hard.
Yo, YouTube Premium.
I'm never going back, dude.
We talked about this before.
Ever. Never.
Did I talk you into YouTube Premium?
I think you had it and you liked it. It was also one of those, like, you can't really grasp it until you just do it, man. Because I never thought I would give this much of a fuck. Huh?
You got a month free, right?
No, I just went whole hog. I said, fuck it. I was literally thinking about why I did it earlier today, because I was on the point of like starting to pay ad block money because YouTube was like blocking down on like ad blockers. And I was like, oh, I really like ad block and they've helped me a lot. I should pay them money. And then I was like, wait, why don't you just fucking pay YouTube? And then you don't have to keep doing this update, chase the fucking rabbit bullshit. You just have no commercials. And I was like, all right, fuck it, let's do it. And like, I did it. Yeah, I just was like, all right, never, ever again. Totally worth it.
It is the one service I will wholeheartedly recommend to everybody.
Yeah.
Even though it isn't exactly like a streaming service, man, my phone, just the fact that you can hop onto YouTube, put on a video, put in headphones, and turn off your screen and just put your phone in your pocket is... it's the best, man. Like, I use it so fucking much, and I'm never going back to ads. Ever. Never.
Nope. Though, I'll get into it a bit more. I was so fucking bummed and pissed, and then it hit. One of the things, I burned through the whole fucking Fallout TV series in, like, one day, Sean.
That's on and the one, Prime?
And that's what fucking sucked, is because they've got ads on goddamn Prime now.
God,
and they're still not—they're not the annoying level of ad. They put it at least just at the fucking start, but they're usually at least 30 seconds long. But I know, and it, right now there's only the fucking one. But you know, eventually there's gonna be more, and it's—you know—it's just nickel dime piecemeal shit. It's the fucking slow boiling frog shit. And at least it seemed like, because I watched them all in one day, after like the fifth episode, I think it just stopped showing that shit anymore. It would just go right to the next episode.
This guy's hit me a allotted amount of ads for the day.
Yeah, I guess so. Or at least it just broke the algorithm just sitting there going right through. But goddamn, man, that show fucking ruled.
Yeah. How many episodes
Loved it. There's eight episodes.
Okay. At an hour?
There's a couple that are about 45-ish, and then a couple that are like an hour 12-ish. So, like, it all kind of evens out.
You know, I do. This may be a hot take, I guess. I don't know. I'm also the kind of person that would rather, like, not binge through something and have, like, a weekly release, which I understand is not the popular opinion. But I really enjoy it when a show doesn't have, like, a set time. So like, I'm not going into it really thinking about like, oh, how long is this one? But it's really cool when you're watching a show like that and you're like, whoa, this feels like movie length. How long is this? And you're like, holy shit, we still got 20 minutes, let's go.
Yeah, that shit's wild. But man, for real, like, even if you're not a fan of Fallout. I feel it's such a good show that you can watch it and still enjoy it. They have so many Easter eggs and nods to people that play the games, to where they're, you spend so much of the time doing the Leo meme, like, oh, 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 oh. But to somebody who's never seen it, you can also still, it's a very engaging story with rules that make sense or and are explained enough that, like, you get it. So, plus, goddamn Walton Goggins, man.
I love the idea of that world and that story, you know, with, like, the vaults and all the different separate vaults and what's going on in there. Like, I love the idea of that. I don't want to play the games, but I love the idea, and I would absolutely 100% go down a 2-hour YouTube premium rabbit hole of people breaking down all the different vaults and what's going on in the lore. Oh, yeah. I think it's the coolest shit ever. They did it, from what I understand, just an absolute incredible job building this world.
Yeah, dude.
So a lot of it's on my watch list.
Yeah. I really think, dude, I'm not generally a binger either, man. This was, I literally didn't have much going on, and I just started it, and I was like, okay, this is what I'm doing. I just literally could, it was so fucking engaging, man, and so on the nose. And again, Walton Goggins, dude.
In is that lead the man dude role, with no nose? Is he the...
Yeah, he's the ghoul in the show.
The ghoul? Mm-hmm. In the games, are there, isn't there like more than one ghoul?
Oh, yeah, there's more than one ghoul in the show too. There's other ghouls.
Oh, okay.
Ghouls are, they're so ghouls are people that generally got stuck outside during the when the bombs fell. They weren't in a vault,
okay,
or underground of some sort, and they've just been exposed to massive amounts of radiation to where they look like zombies. But most of them are still have their brains. They just live really long and. But they can go to what's called the feral ghoul state, where they will eventually turn into a zombie type thing.
Huh.
So it's cool. It's cool stuff. But you like cool radiation ghoul. Doesn't fucking hurt them. It actually will heal them. And that's just from like in-game lore stuff. But
that's pretty badass. I went through an article the other day where people were trying to like break down what some mystery serum was in there. Huh? And they were like pulling lore from the games and like different items and descriptions, and dude, I was obsessed. So
dude,
it's another... on my list of stuff to get to, and when I do watch it, we should talk about it.
Okay, I would like to. I just another nice little nod, and then I'll shut up about it.
But, no, talk about it all you want.
You know, it is an RPG in the game, and like usually, and a lot of them, you'll pick like three things that you kind of specialize in, the and stats. Some of them like even call them out, like you'll focus in these and
there's like so intelligence and endurance and like charisma, right? Like shit like that.
All that shit. And then there's like different subsets of that. Like there's one called Lead Belly where like you can drink radiated water and eat radiated food and you won't get sick from it. So they like as the perks go, they get these different cooler, unique names. But anyways, at the start, when Lucy's describing herself, she mentions like three of the things from the game as like her quad. She's like, I'm good at science and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I get it works totally well within the world, but also if you've played the game, you're like, okay.
So if you played the world, you kind of know her build and what she's going to excel at.
Exactly.
Through the show. That's really fucking cool.
And it's relevant throughout the story as it goes. It's really well written, dude. It's not just half-ass thrown together. It makes sense in the world. They don't come out and say it, but... get like the ghoul at one point, he's like in this shootout and he's just fucking wrecking people. And people have assumed he's got this one perk and that he's using the VATS mode, which is that thing in the game where like things go super and you can like highlight different body parts. Time doesn't really freeze. It just goes super slow when you're in VATS. But the way that he's like hitting stuff perfectly, people are like, oh, he's using VATS at that point.
That's so sick because he's targeting not really been, specific parts.
But VATS isn't like been officially like introduced as anything at all. But it's just like a subtle little nod and you're like,
they just mention it. And if you know, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, they don't even mention VATS at all. Like they're just like the way that he's doing it. They're like, this is very reminiscent of him using VATS. So will it become a thing? It could be one of those, or it could just be this weird ambiguous thing in the world. But again, man, they hit so much of it so perfectly. Like, it's inspired me. I floated up Fallout 4. I've started a new game on that recently. And
really?
Yeah. I've been enjoying it again. I want to get 3 on the PC, but...
When you play a Fallout game, what are the stats that you gravitate? What makes the game fun for you?
Well, like a lot of Bethesda games, generally my first character will be some sort of stealth thief guy. And it's harder to do in the Fallout games, at least to start, because, you know, you don't get access to sniper rifles or even rifles of any decent sort for a while. And especially something with a scope, whereas in, like, you know, Skyrim and that shit, you can just start with a bow and arrow. And crouch and be sneaking, you know.
With some mods, you can start off with a sniper rifle with a scope.
Sure. And, you know, and then also you got to put the silencer on so that you stay hidden. Or you get such a powerful one that you're just going to pop people.
You don't give a fuck if that rad scorpion's coming.
And then I also have a habit in both genres. I make a second character who's usually brawler melee based, who's usually a girl. Named a variant, but generally around something of like Puncherella.
Okay.
Or also I've done Stabarella when she's a blade heavy.
Okay.
But, usually, and the Fallout ones, that's cool because they get these crazy power fists. You don't even have to have the power armor. It's just like these power fists. And then, like, some people will put like concrete and rebar in the end, so it hits even harder. That shit's cool. But yeah, this time I've actually eschewed both those, and I've just made a dude that I run up, I've maxed out a double barrel shotgun I found, and now I just run up to people and I hit vats and I blast them in the head and their heads explode in one hit. So that's been how I've been doing this one a lot, and it's been quite enjoyable.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so that's been fun so far. It's been hard. I've died a lot. I've been surprised. And of course, the autosaves are not so generous in those open world style games. So there's been a couple times where, like, I've died and I'm like, all right, fuck it, I'm done for tonight. I'll play this part again later. Cause, like, you just fucking lose everything.
Man, I'd be spamming that manual save button like every 10 minutes.
I really got to get in that habit. I really do. But
there's nothing I hate more, man. Actually, there's a lot that I hate more. But yeah, man, we could have a top 5 things we hate most in games.
That'd be a good one too.
Or pet peeves. Like, I hate dying and losing anything more than 10 minutes worth of progress.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me want to not play that game.
I can die over and over as a speedrunner. The number one pet peeve, bane of my fucking existence, is an unskippable cutscene. The worst one for me, there was fucking Mass Effect back in the day, trying to get like the hardest difficulty playthrough. There was a couple bosses on there that were just like one shot and you're restarting. And there was one I remember had a 3-minute fucking cutscene every time.
You immediately make me think of Final Fantasy X. At the end of the game, when you're fighting, what's his name, Dad there.
Or Ject.
Yeah, Ject. You're fighting Ject. And it's just like, what, when he's in like whale form or whatever. And it's a really hard fight. And then you die. And then you have like a 3 or 4 minute cutscene again. Yep. And you die. Then you have oh my God, dude. I wanted to.
Luckily,
rip my fucking
hair
out.
The remakes, at least those are skippable now. But yeah, in those early PS2 days.
Oh, man. Like, who thought that was a good idea?
Just. What pisses me off is people that do it now. It's like 2023, 24. You know now. Do not put a fucking unskippable cutscene in a game, dude.
Are you afraid that I'm going to accidentally skip this? Okay, there are so many games now that let you skip, but it makes you hold a button or something, so you're not accidentally doing it. Do that. Don't make it so I can't skip this fucking cutscene.
Just get it out of here. Yeah. That is the absolute bane of my fucking existence, man. And then number two, probably cheaters in online games.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, when I first downloaded and installed COD, right? And I was so hype, and then I booted it up, and there was like this cutscene at the beginning that I couldn't skip. And I was like, immediately pissed off. I was like, really? And it made me like restart the game after the shaders were applied. I'm like, okay, fine. Let me restart this. And it booted back up, and it was the same fucking cutscene that I couldn't skip.
I still couldn't skip.
Dude, I had to Google, like, can you turn this off? And yes, you can. But it's hidden in like 6 menus.
Yeah.
Why do you do this? Why do you hate me?
Sometimes I just don't get developers. It's like,
I don't understand, man.
But I don't know. That's the beautiful things about capitalism. There's so many things are not for your taste. They don't care.
A Fallout 3 or New Vegas is better?
I'm Fallout 3. I played 1 and 2 back in the day. Like, my friends had burnt me copies of them when, like, I just got a computer with a disk drive. And, like, you know, they didn't have protection yet back in the day where you could just, like, burn a fucking CD game and give it to your friend. They'd be like, tight. So I played 1 and 2, but they were, like, top-down isometric, and they were super fucking hard, and I sucked at them. So I consider, you know, but I was familiar with it, but most of my exposure came when, like, Fallout 3 came out. And I got that on the 360. I put a lot of fucking time into that game. I really, really liked it. And then New Vegas, I didn't really get into because it was around the same time. And it was the same thing with like Spider-Man and then the Miles Morales game. Like, I played so much Fallout 3. I was like, I don't want to play this game again. And that's what New Vegas to me was at that time. Like, people always say it's got like the best story. I guess I wouldn't know. I always liked 3. Plus 3, your dad is Liam Neeson.
That's the big argument that I hear about that game so much. And, like, growing up in the vault, like, going through those formative years is really cool. I've played through that part where you're going and killing the rats or whatever with your makeshift little pop gun. And
right? Yeah, it's teaching you all the stuff before, it sets you out.
Yeah, that was cool. And then it became open world. I'm like, fuck this game. Uh-huh. But
it is very rough. I've tried to put myself to just like follow the path and hopefully not get sidetracked. But that's another funny thing. It's even a joke in this series. He's like, always getting fucking sidetracked.
Just doing side missions?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah,
dude.
It's a great little tongue-in-cheek joke that, again, you're like, ah, yeah.
Every time I start an open world game, man, like, as much as I shit on them, like, there's always, you know, the flavor of the month or the something that everybody's playing. You're like, all right, well, maybe this is the one that I'm gonna love.
Right.
And like, it never is. Elden Ring killed it, like, for me. But man, I will have fun for like 2 hours and then, like, I know myself. I don't even want to do the main story anymore. I'm like, let me just do all these side quests here. And then 12 hours later, you're like, this game sucks.
I guess I'm done. Yeah. But you haven't beat the game. Yeah, but I could. Open world games are weird to me, too. We both have an overall, I think, distaste for them. But, like, there are some that, man, when they hit. And I don't know why. And I still can't recreate it. But, dude, Far Cry 3? Fucking ruled.
Really?
And that's a Ubisoft game with like the traditional, you know, climb the tower, unlock this area, all this. Yeah. And that one fucking ruled. I've tried all the other ones and like they never hit like that one. So
speaking of that,
3 was one of those. I literally did everything in it.
Speaking of that, oddly enough, you know what open world game I really, really loved? Asterisk.
Hold on.
Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
Oh, well, everybody loves Black Flag. I don't.
Well,
I don't like any Assassin's Creed. But
I loved it until it started being an Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Just put me in the boat. As soon as I had to go on to land, don't care anymore. I'm done. I hate this game. But man, let me sail around in a storm.
There were so many people that still today beg, like, Ubisoft, just fucking give us a pirate game. Like, give us the first half of this Assassin's Creed game, and we will, you will make millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Just give it to us. We want, so many people want that, but I don't know. They ain't done it. I feel like it's so weird, too, because they have so much of the groundwork there in that game.
Yeah. It's so, because they also did what, like, they had that built into Brotherhood. I think that's where they first kind of started doing the ship stuff, whatever, the Massachusetts Tea Party one, I think.
I thought Brotherhood was the online one where you hunted other players. Dude, I don't know much about the series, man. I literally did not give a fuck about that series.
I know this because of my brother, because he loves Assassin's Creed and shit. I never played any of them. Mm-hmm. Except for the first one.
I played the first one for like a couple hours, and I was like, this is not doing it for me.
After you realize in the first one that it's the same gameplay loop just over and over again, like, you do the same three steps nonstop until you get to the end of the game. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, and this series isn't for me. To the point where I won't even give them a try anymore, but man.
Yeah.
Let me be a pirate. You just got me to buy a game.
Yar har fiddly dee.
I got a notification while recording from Sea of Thieves. It's like, download this on PlayStation right now. And I'm like, man.
Oh, they put it on PlayStation? That's huge.
Yeah.
Because that's a Microsoft game. They must be losing players. Still ain't going to get me, dog, because... I've watched some videos of it, and I was like, there's no way I could play this.
No, dude, you'd vom.
No way.
Yeah. What else? I don't think you'd enjoy it. I thought I would like it until it just turned into, if you're playing it by yourself, kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But that was also when the game first came out. I don't know if it's any better or not right now, but just give me Monkey Island.
Isn't it? My man wants Monkey's Island, dog.
It's all I want.
Give the man what he wants.
Yeah. But until they do that, I'm going to keep playing. Dude, we haven't stopped playing Slay of the Spire.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about this fucking board game. Set it up.
Yeah, yeah. So we have, outside of Sarah had to go out of town for like 36 hours for work, every other day we have played at least a couple of hours of Slay of the Spire. Like, obsessed. We have gone through probably 10 runs at this point, maybe more, different combinations of different characters. We did the Silent and the Ironclad for the first couple. And, dude, it works exactly like the game. You play it, and based on how far you get, you get closer to unlocking more cards that you can put into your reward deck, which is really cool. And, you know, you get to the point where you start unlocking ascensions in it, and there's achievements just like in the video game that you can unlock. Like, if you do something in the run, like make it to the end and haven't gotten any relics or whatever, boom, achievement. You can mark that achievement done.
That's fucking cool, man.
Dude, the game is so fucking sick, and we're obsessed with it. We've made it to the Act 3 boss only once, but I think we're gonna, on this run, make it to them again. Man, I feel like if my deck was, you know how it is, if my deck was just a little better, we would have smoked that, but Sarah was carrying the show.
Yeah?
Carrying the show that game. She was the Watcher, and I was the Defect, and the Defect, man, can be... insanely OP.
Yeah.
Insanely OP. But it all depends on your rewards and, you know, what gets
dealt to
you.
What you're building into. Yeah. He's a little more above basic than I would say than the other two. Because you got to... Mm-hmm. I feel he really... If you try to go general with him, he punishes you more than the other two. He really needs
Absolutely.
A refinement. So...
If you really don't push into what you're trying to do, and you start taking, you know, you take a card that you're like, this might be good. Well, tell you what, in about one act that you're going to be regretting getting that card because it's not, you know, if it wasn't for your build and what you're trying to do, don't bog yeah. down your deck.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
I had this insane combo going with like Zap and Thunderstrike, where I upgraded Zap to be free. And then Thunderstrike did, it does 6 damage per socketed lightning to an entire row of enemies. And so I could make it so that I could hypothetically make it so that I could immediately and on turn one have a full 3 stack of lightning and hit everything for 18 damage and just
nice.
Wipe a room. Mm-hmm. It felt broken, honestly.
You mentioned you feel like you're going to get it on this run. So I'm assuming it sounds like you have a run in progress that you've walked away from. Yeah. What's the longest you've had a single run going?
I mean, till act 3.
But I mean, so, like, how many, was that spaced out over like a couple days?
Yeah, sometimes we'll just go for a run, you know, one shot a run. And then if it's getting a little later, you know, it's still got the hooks in us. So we're like, all right, let's just re-rack real quick. And so we quickly reset up, pick different characters if we want and just get going. And then usually we'll try to take down the act 1 boss before we call it quits. Be like, all right, nice. We'll set up for act 2 tomorrow. So, yeah.
I like that it has that for you, that you could just, you know, walk away, come back, and finish it.
We usually leave it set up Kramer on the Newman. Table that it's on right now, but it is very easy to, if you want to between acts, just pack it up. Because there's a way to basically store your progress, store your deck. Oh,
tight.
Yeah, you can store your deck, store your money, store your relics and items very easily. So that's killer. When you go to play again, you just pull out all the stuff you had.
And you're ready to go. Damn. Yep. It's like it's fucking
just as easy as starting a new run.
I'll be hot damned.
Yeah. Yep. It's amazing. It's amazing. So I talked to my buddy Norm, my old roommate Norm, into getting it. I had posted it on Facebook. I'm like, man, I'm so hype about this. And I woke up to a comment on there from him. And I'm like, damn. I didn't realize you got Facebook again. That's or reactivated or whatever. And mm-hmm. I immediately called him like, dude, because we had been playing together since early access. And I was like, it's not cheap. It's not cheap what I ordered, but it is really good. And he texts me later that day. He goes, you're right. It's not cheap, but I ordered it.
Nice. Sean, man, you gotta start getting a cut of these.
Yeah, right. Hey, Contention, send me some monies.
Then they've got the did we talk? They got the second one announced.
Yeah, the second game. Oh yeah. Man,
that's gonna be nuts. I'll definitely get that one way earlier because I slept on Slay the Spire for a long time. So
from what I understand, that's gonna introduce multiplayer in the game.
Tight. So, just like what this the board game has.
Yes. Which
tight.
Arguably, actually, I don't even think it's arguably. It makes Slay the Spire better. Slay the Spire with other people is a better game.
That'll be a lot of fun to get down into. And I like that it's, I wonder how many you could get, but I like the idea of just the two. Just you and a bro.
At least in the board game, you can have up to 4 people. But even if you look at Board Game Geek or whatever, it's everybody says it's best at 2 people.
Sure.
Way less managing and...
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that could get overwhelming.
Or just, you know, you got the one person that's only kind of half into it.
Yeah, fuck him. Don't invite them.
They bring down the vibe for everybody else.
Yeah, fuck they're sitting here eating tortilla and salsa and getting salsa all over their fingers and getting all over the cards.
These are my cards, dude. What are you doing, dude?
Kick you right in the dick. I don't care if there's sleeves on it. You're going to get grease stains on there, bitch.
Batch.
Batch.
I like that. Yeah, batch.
Oh,
I'm going to adopt that. I'm going to tell the listeners they could do that. Because they can. I don't know. It's funny. You always... You seemed a little concerned we weren't going to have enough to talk about. And I was like, dog, We got this.
Oh, for sure. It's so wild. I was just thinking how every time we talk before the show and you're like, we can just go short today. And I know in the back of my head, I laugh in my head and I go, that's not happening. And I'm not sure how, but it happens every time that we just end up going a normal length and it's all gravy.
And my idea, my head, when I say short, I imagine like 45-ish. And so that's when I saw 54, head. I was like, oh, we didn't end soon. Let's end now. So that's what I'm saying. It's 54. It's still early. Let's end now. This was a good one. Potpourri, we got, we do have the next 3 weeks lined up. We've got, we're going to finish up our Sexy Mia Goth romp with Pearl. Well, I say finish up, but I guess continue because there is a third one coming out.
Yes.
But if we're talking about these two, I guess we will talk about Maxine as well. So.
Yeah, I really hope so. And then we're following that up with a top five of some sort yet to be determined.
Got a couple ideas in the fire, so.
Yep. And then week three is going to be, what do you got?
Office Space, right? That's what we said?
Yes. Office Space. Well,
take All it right. back, baby. I'm excited about that one. Oh, also, before we get out, it's funny. While I was waiting for you to hit me up to record, I was downstairs watching Happy Gilmore, and I was thinking of you.
Oh, dude, that's the best movie. That's like the best movie.
I love it. So I was driving Mandy nuts because I was doing the thing where like I'm quoting every line before it actually happens, and because I've seen that movie 1,000 times.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I love that.
Just
movie.
Leave the guy alone. He's just trying to earn some money. We go to the golf caddy punk. Yeah, all of that. My favorite is all right. He's gonna tee off now. Get out of the way. And he walks up to the kid who just told, just help me make sure I don't look stupid out there. He goes, where were you on that one, dipshit?
Remember a couple years ago when some golfer with the same name as him won like a majors or something?
Yeah.
And I completely bought in that it was the same kid.
Oh,
good for him. That's freaking wild. I'm an
awesome.
Idiot.
No. Yeah, we all are sometimes, man. Buddy.
What's wild is, so we have the next 3 weeks planned out. And then after that third week, I'm going to be in Vegas, actually.
Okay.
So we'll have to figure something out for the following week. But
well, I'm sure we should do something Vegas related.
Yeah, I'll be in Vegas from Tuesday to Tuesday.
Cool, man. So we'll get something out.
Cool.
But until then... audience, go botch yourself. I fucked it up. Botch.
You botched it?
Botch. Botch. Bye, everybody.
And it's good. Or get your fingers smashed with a hammer.
That's right. That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. I got it. I've got it right now because it's related to what we talked to. Sean, would you rather drink irradiated water or eat a giant cockroach, but it's been cooked? And it's not radiated. So it will not give you radiation sickness. It's just a giant roach from the radiation.
But it's like a roach, and like I can tell that
it looks like a roach. It's just a cooked roach.
So it's still a roach.
Yeah.
And I can tell it's a roach. Man, that's fucking horrendous.
That's a
I'm glad you didn't say house centipede or centipede.
No.
Not gonna lie, but I mean, I've got to go with a cockroach, right? Like,
I think,
like I would be like, like the whole time and bitching and moaning, but I'd probably do that.
I think, also, if you're in the blasted wastelands with no food, I think after a while you will eat a cockroach. You're not gonna give a fuck. I've watched enough of the naked survival shows to see, like,
of course you have. Of course you have. Of course you have. Bye, everybody.